We present the News Quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the News Quiz. We start with a clipping from the Ullapool News, read by Charlotte Green.
Nicorette kit, no inhaler. Swap for 3 ounces of Old Hoban or £10.
And thanks to Clive Ellis of Hereford for sending us that. Now let's meet the teams. Welcome, please, first on my right, our regular team captain, Andy Hamilton, and his guest, comedian Steve Punt. And challenging them on my left are stalwart Alan Corran and a News Quiz newcomer from Radio 4's The World Tonight, Robin Lustig. Andy, your first question. Who will be advertising 20 situations vacant in next week's job pages?
Have I been bowled the incredibly boring European Commission story? Has money changed hands here again? This is the story that the investigation by the Commission revealed levels of corruption and nepotism and cronyism. I personally don't feel qualified to criticise people about nepotism, given that I'm only actually on this show because I'm Simon Hoggart's love child. which he's been in denial about for quite a while, but it's quite upsetting, actually. And at the centre of this web of incompetence and corruption seemed to be Edith Cressel, who, as I recall, once said that all English men were homosexuals. All the women nodding their head in the audience. And she also said that, I seem to recall that she said that Japanese people were ants. So, I'm not sure she was the right person to have that much responsibility, really. Anyway, that was the story, Simon. Dad.
It was a terrible shock when he knocked on my door, I must say. Little bearded person.
Well, how do you think I felt?
I'm not expecting you to sell me those oven gloves at £3 each. While not accused of himself acting corruptly, Santerre was forced to resign after the report reprimanded him for allowing so much fraud to take place. He takes up a new job as head of documentaries at Carlton TV next week. So, 2 points to Andy. Steve, which eco-warrior this week has been all at sea?
This would be Jean Cousteau Prescott. A great meeting must have taken place in John Prescott's office a few months ago where they said, about this fact-finding eco-mission pollution thing, we've got a couple of ideas. We thought maybe the industrial wastelands of central Poland, the poisoned soil, the old steelworks. Then again, there's the coral reefs around the Maldives. Then there's the barren wastelands of Siberia with the ozone layer, and Prescott going, hang on, just go back a bit there. Just go back to the bit about the coral reefs. Because that's where he wound up frightening the fish in the Maldives. And there was a fantastic quote in the Daily Mail where he was attempting to justify all this. And he said while he was in India and before all this, he saw a Bengal tiger, an endangered Bengal tiger. And he was quoted saying something like, "The tiger and I had a lot in common and I think we could learn a lot from each other." And I thought, I have no idea what that means, unless somewhere in Bengal there's a tiger that's planning an all-expenses-paid trip to Hull. Very odd. But then he did think Peter Mandelson was a crab, didn't he? John Prescott.
Mr. Prescott admitted the diving trip brought back a lot of memories for him, particularly when the captain of the boat insisted he served drinks for all the other guests. He also spoke of his surprise at stumbling across a vast, unusually marked orange bird preening itself during his visit to a tropical rainforest, as he'd no idea Judith Chalmers was there as well. Two well-earned points to Steve. Robin, welcome to the News Quiz.
Thank you.
Who will have a surprise in store when they say sayonara to Sawyer?
Ah, Sawyer. GM, not General Motors. Genetically modified food. If we go into a restaurant soon, we will see on the menu not only starters, main courses, and deserts. We will see little asterisks on one side which say, you can eat this if you're a veggie, and little brackets saying GM on the other side, saying, you shouldn't eat this at all. On the other hand, if you like soya, or tomato paste, or pasta, or virtually anything else that you buy in a supermarket, you've got no choice because it's all GM anyway.
You facetiously say it's not General Motors, but they've also bred a carrot with bits of a Ford Mondeo in it.
Store managers are already mourning the passing of GM foods, pointing out they were cheap, tasty, and the only items that could stack themselves on the shelves. 2 points to Robin. Alan, listen to this. 5-4-3-2-1 by Manfred Mann. Alan, whose new school policy calls for additional improvements?
Yeah, it's another Carol Vorderman story, isn't it? It helped Carol Vorderman to build her reputation. I hoped it was going to be the Joe Ashton story, but it isn't. He turned up at this working men's club somewhere, and they wouldn't let him in without a tie. Yes, Carol Vorderman. It is impossible to do anything in this country without promoting Carol Vorderman, but I see that advanced education policy, which has decided that children need now to learn the alphabet, has decided they should also learn to do the 10 times table. And we grew up with under-progressive education, which is why everybody ends up doing the news quiz for tuppence, and knowing nothing at all. But under the new Third Way regime, children will now have to sit there and say 3 threes are 14 or whatever they are. And it's all endorsed by Vorderman. But it's a new scheme for Maths 2000. I mean, two things go together, don't they, in the promotion stakes, the dome and Carol Vorderman. And I'm sure when they open it, finally, there'll be nothing in it but Carol Vorderman clearly doing sums for people.
Who's on tuppence?
What?
I can't pay everyone, Andy.
No, all right then, fair enough.
I did give you the gift of life, after all. Did you see that David Blunkett's Seeing Eye Dog was banned from the House of Commons for throwing up a week ago on the floor?
He's entitled to his opinion, surely.
And the scores at the end of round one are, everybody, 4 points. And we start round two with an item seen in the Yorkshire Evening Post.
HGV Class 2 driver required for concrete mixer work to cover Wakefield, Barnsley and Pontefract.
Thanks to Terry Hawkin of Leeds for that. Andy, which emperors this week entertained right royally?
Which emperors?
A small e.
Can I phone a friend?
Damn, someone had to do it and it's already been done.
Oh, come on. Oh,
butterfly.
What sort of emperors have wings? Is it A?
Penguins?
Yes.
Oh, Prince Charles was commemorating some penguins that fought for us in the war. Sorry, I didn't think that was a news story. I thought that was just... Yes, he saw some penguins and he walked around among the penguins. And then I kind of blipped over because Kavanaugh QC was starting. Well, that was roughly it.
I was in the Falklands once and I was told a very nasty story. I'm sure it wasn't true. It was about what RAF pilots did when they were very, very bored. They used to fly very low over these penguin colonies and the penguins would all be standing there, thousands and thousands of them, looking up as the Harriers flew over, and they'd look up and up and up and up and up and thousands of them would fall flat on their backs.
A local who witnessed the meeting between Charles and a 20-foot elephant seal described how the peculiar-looking creature lay grunting on the beach, coughing and flicking sand, which amused the seal no end. Robin, listen to this.
Andre has a red flag, Chiang Ching's is blue. They all have hills to fly them on, except for Lin Tai Yu. Dressing up in costumes, playing silly games. Hiding out in treetops, shouting out rude names.
Games Without Frontiers by Peter Gabriel, whose removal, Robin, proved to be an Olympian task.
Oh, yeah, this is the IOC, the International Olympic Committee. There's a lot of corruption about these days, isn't there? I mean, people seem to be falling over like ninepins. It was six IOC members, I think, who decided they'd better do the decent thing and get out because of some hanky-panky that went on when the Winter Olympics were awarded to Salt Lake City in the year that I insist on calling 2002 and everybody else keeps calling 2002, and I shall go on calling it 2002 until I get my way. Exactly. Is that right?
Robin, does that mean we're living in the year 1999?
No, but it means that the Battle of Hastings was in 1066 and not in 1066.
Mm.
Ooh.
Oh.
I blame Stanley Kubrick.
Well, if you'd spoken to the people at the time, I'm sure they were saying that.
If you look out there, you'll see there are two green anoraks and woolly hats hanging side by side.
Six of the International Olympic Committee members were expelled over charges of bribery and corruption. The mood was somber as representatives from 123 countries filed into the IOC headquarters, with naturally the two British delegates coming in last. 2 points to Robin. Alan, how were 20,000 people mugged in New York?
Well, this is the third example of corruption that Robin has already brought up. This is about Don King giving Lennox Lewis a hiding. There were three judges sat down to decide whether an American fighting in New York, who's clapped out and passed his best, Evander Holyfield, and he was beaten in every round by Lennox Lewis, an Englishman. This would clearly never do as far as Don King and his chums are concerned, so they, it's difficult here. I don't know whether their lawyers stretch across, or whether men with flat noses will be waiting for me as I step out of broadcasting house. But, I mean, he was robbed in the famous cry. He landed 346 jabs and 413 right crosses and all the rest, and Holyfield just stood there with bits dropping off him, and a draw was declared.
You have to remember, to be fair, that Don King needs the rematch because he has very heavy fuel costs on the Harrier jump jet that he uses to dry his hair.
All three judges were accused of being incapable of seeing what was going on in front of their very eyes, so we can shortly expect them to be offered jobs as replacement EU commissioners. The scores at the end of round two are, everybody, 8 points. And we commence round three with a cutting from the Daily Telegraph.
Andrew Morton will be writing Monica Lewinsky's memoirs, the publisher Michael O'Mara confirmed yesterday. The publishing deal was the product of a strong personal chemistry between Miss Lewinsky and Morton, Mr. O'Mara said. We put them together in a New York hotel room, and she said yes immediately.
And thanks to everyone who sent that in. And who's made light work of moving house?
Oh, this is a bit fell off Beachy Head recently. I think it was the work of vandals. And it meant the lighthouse was perilously close to the edge. And so they've moved the lighthouse, which is pretty impressive, I think. I presume it's still reasonably near the edge of the cliff and that there aren't captains of ships out at sea trying to see. They haven't moved it to Birmingham or somewhere.
I find it slightly extraordinary that there's a lighthouse on top of Beachy Head. You know, for mariners for whom a 300-foot-high chalk cliff isn't enough of a clue that they're nearing land. HMS Myopia is approaching the coast. It's occupied as well, isn't it? There's a family live in it, which is very bizarre. You know, you think if a family looking for a house, you know, people normally want, you know, three bedrooms, reception, kitchen, near shops and station. And this family went for three bedrooms, kitchen, near 300-foot sheer drop.
They collect suicide notes. It's their hobby.
I'd be terrible living in a lighthouse because I'm always going around putting all the lights out. And reminds me, oh, look at that. God, yes. Who left that on?
Have you changed that bulb yet, dear?
Steve, have a listen to this music.
You're my majesty. You're out of sight, you're groovy. Yes, ma'am, I can boogie at your command. Play that flunky music. Hit me with your rhythm scepter. I'm your corgi toy boy, aha. And now here are the main points of the chorus again.
That was Blues at 10 from Spitting Image. Steve, which blue blood is in the red?
yes, I think this is my favourite story of the week. The Queen Mother is £4 million overdrawn. Coutts, the bank that likes to say, yes, 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 no, you're not posh, yes, 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 yes. Absolutely terrific. £4 million in the red as a result of a very poor decision. Got herself an odd bins charge card and opened a joint account with Princess Margaret. which was a very poor move. But the main thing that I love about this story is I think that the Queen Mother, God bless her, right, if she can run up a £4 million overdraft when she's 98 years old, what on earth was she like as a student? I just, you know...
Were you shocked and horrified at how nasty all the papers were to her? I mean, whatever happened to, you know, the Queen Mum, God bless her, ma'am, as Steve says, they're really having it in for her now. I mean... 98 years old. I mean, can't we be nice?
They've been waiting for 60 years to say what they really thought.
Yes, Her Majesty says people need to understand how hard it is for a woman of 98 to be on a fixed income from the government of only £24,000 a fortnight. And she doesn't have to get some funny looks down the post office on pension day. 2 points for Steve. Robin, who's too young to remember two World Wars and one World Cup?
I am. Two World Wars, one World Cup. Go on, give us a clue.
Who are we playing them against?
Yeah. It's not about Germans.
Could be.
Germans.
But it's not that story about children and Germans.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's so unfair to the Germans. So let's roll our sleeves up and get in with the answer. Apparently children are innocent and naive. Until the age of about 9, because during all that period they're rather like the Germans, and suddenly they grow up and they become very prejudiced against them. By the time they get to my age, you'd be surprised how that prejudice develops. That's the one, isn't it? Although they know nothing about the World War or the World Cup, they just have an instinctive distaste for the Bosch or Kraut. I suppose we should say Kraut. We can't say Bosch anymore, can we? Anyway, the square heads.
Yeah.
Part of our prejudice against Germans could well be because they're so much better off than we are, particularly the Queen Mum. an Italian question. Alan, which Italian, not so much stallions, are happy to be love rats?
Is this something to do with Italian impotence?
Yes, sort of.
Well, it's not sort of. It's either impotence or it isn't. How do you feel tonight, darling? Well, sort of. Well, it must be another study that when children get to the age of 12, they realise all Italians are impotent.
There was a very strange story about rats being injected with human sperm.
But that wasn't
Italian. I know no more than that.
Oh, I'm feeling faint now.
I can pick... I think I can redeem this question, if you allow me. They injected Italians into rats' testicles and they... And they bred Italians from them. No, it's true.
No, but you create an Italian rat, surely, don't you? If you inject a bit of Italian... I'm no biologist. Goodness knows. But if you inject a bit of an Italian into a rat...
You get a better rat, yeah.
So you get a rat that comes around with a big pepper pot and...
Dr. Severino Antinori, right, is an Italian gynaecologist, and what he does is he stores human sperm in rats to keep it warm in order to use it later and help infertile couples.
Why hasn't he got
so
a cupboard?
So much for his hobby. What's he got?
You can't keep things in rats.
The lab assistant responsible for inseminating the rats said the task was quite tricky at first, but things turned up when he was given a syringe. So, the scores at the end of round three are Alan and Robin 11, but Andy and Steve in the lead with 13 points. And before we start the final round, here's a clipping from the buy and sell paper in Belfast.
Gravestone, £250, would suit someone with the name Burns.
Thanks to Ted Shepherd of Thalwell for that. Andy, your piece of music. Jelly Bean Blues by Ackerbilk. Andy, which babies might now be on their last legs?
Somebody has brought out, instead of jelly babies, they're jelly geriatric, and they're in the shape of pensioners, and they got names, and he quite enterprisingly, in the quote I saw, said, "I think it will make a jolly good TV programme." to which the answer is wrong. And that's about it, really. I mean, it was the big story on the confectionery pages, certainly.
The thing is about them is, if you saw the photograph, there's much more on them than there is on a jelly baby. Mm. I mean, they've got simmer frames and sticks and varicose legs. And
last.
You could have a jelly queen mother, I suppose, really. Get two artificial jelly hips, a stick and a horse.
They're going straight from jelly babies to geriatrics. They've missed out a lot of stages in between. They've got a whole range. They could, you know, they can have jelly adolescents who they won't come out of the box and just stay in there listening to music.
The inventor, Ashley Sim, insists that the geriatrics weren't anything like real old people, as they wouldn't have to sell their houses to be welcomed into somebody's home. Sim got the idea from listening to the Chris Evans breakfast show on Virgin Radio, which was also packed full of quivering, spineless little people. 2 points to Andy. Steve Wichtown insisted it wouldn't be ducking the issue when it came to splashing out on the millennium.
Blimey. Do you know?
No, not blimey.
I think I might have to prove that this programme is not fixed by saying that I do not know. Does
well,
my team
I'm now going to disprove that. But I think the town, was it Hereford or Worcester?
Leinster.
It was one of those. Where?
Leinster.
They decided, I think it was a clock, they wanted a commemorative millennial clock to celebrate the year 2000. and it's got a sort of, you know, it's one of those working clocks and it's a ducking stool. And it's a scold being ducked in the town butt, which was a common practice when Michael Howard was Home Secretary.
Robin, which pastime will from now on be known as the sport of kings, queens, bishops and knights?
Well, it could be chess, but that would be much too obvious. It could also be sex, for example.
Kings, queens, bishops and knights. I don't see where the bishops fit in.
You don't? What a protected life you've led.
Well, I wrote down sex because I thought it was that story about the woman who's complained that she is touched up in between moves. Or moved in between touching up. See, woman grand chess master, presumably now grand chess mistress, who complained that she was patted on the bottom.
That's right.
And now she can't have sex unless somebody bangs a clock, goes ding, and she has 30 seconds to finish her move. Is it that story?
No, but I'll give you a point, because that's a very good answer to the wrong question, but a very good answer.
We get points for answering the wrong question now, do we?
Yes.
Oh, right. Well, in that case, answer? I'd like to say that Wolves won the Cup in 1960. I'll make a point, please.
Tony Banks has announced that from now on, chess is to be considered a sport, so it will only be a matter of time before it gets corrupted by performance-related drugs, such as Mogadon. Some chess clubs are worried that as a sport it may start to attract rowdy fans, and they're worried police will overreact and arrest all the black pieces. Alan, which sons of York are suffering from Westminster discontent?
This is not the one about where the Archbishop of York says Yorkshire should be a separate state.
Yes.
And Freddie Truman should be Prime Minister and Geoffrey Boycott should be I don't know, in charge of women's affairs. It's the idea of an independence movement for Yorkshire, as if it weren't totally separate from humanity as it is.
Oh, I see, we have some visitors from Doncaster. Thank you, sir.
How many Yorkshiremen have we got in the audience? I thought so, because it's a nice audience. It would be more miserable if it was full of Yorkshire.
Well, you said Yorkshire men. They do have women up there. Sometimes difficult.
No, they don't stay, though.
Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Andy.
Well, I'm grateful to Mr. John Gooch from Seatown in Dorset, who sent me this. It's from the Bridport and Lyme Regis News, and it says, at a meeting of a town council in Lincolnshire, a question arose as to the advisability of consecrating a new portion of the cemetery. A member suggested that it would be best to consecrate it, as he had had his backyard done with it, and it had worn well. He lost his seat at the next election.
Steve.
A listener sent in a whole letter here. This is a letter from the director of sales of a hotel group. The heading is The Tower, a Thistle Hotel. And the letter reads, Dear Mr. Taylor, Thistle Hotels has just announced a major 3-year programme to strengthen the Thistle brand. As a result, all hotels in the Thistle portfolio have now been renamed to reflect their locations and reinforce the Thistle brand. The Tower Thistle is now called the Thistle Tower. However, for a period of time, the hotel will be referred to as the Thistle Tower, formerly Tower Thistle, in order to avoid confusion.
Robin.
This one came from Bill Chivers in Seaton in Devon. It is from the Seaton Diary, which is the magazine of the Seaton District Art Society. On Mondays, a group of us meet at St. Clair's to paint and draw. A model is provided. We're a friendly society and we welcome guests to all our meetings for a small feel.
Alan.
Mine is snipped from Monday's Daily Mirror, Simon. It says, because so few local people are out of work, 3 staff who train the unemployed to find work in Newbury, Berkshire, have been made redundant.
Thank you all. The final scores are Alan and Robin, 16 points, but Andy and Steve clung to their leader and this week's winners with 18 points. Oh, with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corran, Andy Hamilton, Steve Punt and Robin Lustig. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news was read by me, Charlotte Green. The chairman's script was written by Dave Cohen, Tom Jameson and George Poles. And the producer was John Rolfe.